Hello and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz, and my guest today is Joel LaBava. You may actually know him as the Franchise King, which is a term that he has sort of coined and co-opted and used for a number of years now because he helps people become franchise owners. And in fact, has written a book by the title, Become a Franchise Owner, the Startup Guide to Lowering Risk, Making Money, and Owning What You Do. So, Joel, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me there, John.
So, you know, I have to ask, I've read a little of your story, so I know the answer to this, but I think probably listeners would like to know, what the heck does a guy like you know about franchises?
Well, not much, actually. I was paid to tell people that I do know. No, I came from a food background and then automobile franchising. I was in management. And then my late father in 2000 asked me, after I was fired from a automotive franchise, asked me to join his franchise brokerage firm. And I hesitated because I guess some people wake up feeling like, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, I've got to own my own business. For me, it wasn't like that. For me, it was, I didn't want to work for a bunch of idiots anymore, and I wanted to kind of take more control. So my dad convinced me, and I joined his brokerage firm and learned a little more about the franchise industry from a different side. As you know, I'm not a broker anymore. I'm more of an advisor. I work with people. I don't point them to specific franchises for commission anymore. I just make sure that they're doing the right thing and teach them how to do research, et cetera. So that's my little story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I think it probably is some tremendous you gain probably some tremendous insight that probably many people that would call themselves competitors of yours don't have of actually working inside of one of these and really seeing sort of the guts of how these things unfold a little bit, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, what's the state of the industry these days? If you were going to say, is franchising growing, red hot, evolving? What I mean, obviously, it's been with us for 40, 50 years now, I guess. But what would you say? Where are we today with franchises?
Well, would you like the spin answer or the Joel LaBava answer?
I want the Joel answer. I want the Joel answer.
In a word, flat.
Yeah. Okay. Having said that, I'm sure that there are segments, industries, opportunities that are still coming along that probably make the model work, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. There are still some fantastic opportunities. A lot of them, amazingly, in food. You know, I think Five Guys is doing a fantastic job for an outfit that just, you know, makes hamburgers.
Right.
But they do a really good job. It's a tight ship. I've been to them and pretty impressed. So there are businesses and sectors, you're right, that are doing very well. But in general, and you know why, because of the banks, it is pretty tough out there to get a loan and to get a loan to grow a franchise into multi-units unless you're really, really solid financially.
Well, so that kind of leads a little bit to my one of my questions. I mean, is it for everyone, or is there a certain kind of makeup of person that the franchise model itself is really more suited for?
In my book, I have a whole chapter, and it's called Take the Franchise Quiz,
right?
Which is also one of the websites I have. Takethefranchisequiz.com. It's a free quiz, and it's for people that want to make sure that they are right for franchising. And a perfect example of someone that might be a good franchisee would be an ex-corporate middle manager or executive who's been used to following rules and is generally okay with it and can move his or her ego aside enough to say, look, I didn't think of the idea. Someone else thought of this franchise concept. I'm fine with using someone else's idea. As long as I can work for myself, own what I do, you know, I'm fine with it. So
I guess you're not talking about me, are you?
No.
Because I don't like to follow rules. I like to make it up myself every day.
That's right. You know, you and I, and I found out the hard way because I was in a franchise broker that was a franchise. So, you know, I say in my book that I was a lousy franchisee. I found out real fast, and I should have done more self-introspection, that, you know what, I don't like to follow rules. Because you know what? Because like you, John, you and I, we can do stuff better than the other people, you know? We can do stuff better than our bosses. So that's why we work for ourselves.
Yeah, or at least we've deluded ourselves to believe that, which is half the battle
anyway. Right? That's half the battle.
Right. So what's the good about the model, and then what's the bad about the model? In other words, you know, are there some obvious benefits to owning a franchise, and then are there some obvious constraints?
Yes, the best thing about franchising is that you get to use a proven system that is easy to duplicate and can get you to market really fast.
Right.
And I think that's really the best part about the franchise business model. The negative is that the way that it's marketed, and since you're an unbelievable marketer, you'll understand this, the way that it's marketed and still is after 40 or 50 years with those famous words, it's a turnkey operation.
Right.
And it's a business in a box. You know, you have to remember who's turning the key. It's not the franchisor. It's you. So it's not an instant business in a box where all you have to do is show up and everything is done for you. You're working 70 hours a week. You have to work it.
Yeah.
So that's the negative, I think, is just sometimes the way it's marketed as being an easy fix.
Well, and speaking of that, I mean, I think it's is it the FTC that regulates, and then obviously all the all the states' attorneys general as well.
Exactly.
But you know, there was the and again, I you know, maybe some of this is just perception, but you know, there was a time when franchises were so heavily regulated because they were, you know, sort of disguised Ponzi schemes and things of that nature. I mean, those days are really over, I suppose, almost maybe to the point where they're probably over-regulated, aren't they?
I don't think they're really over-regulated, but, you know, one thing that's really opened up things, maybe a can of worms, maybe just opened up, is social media.
Yeah.
You know, business transparency.
Ah.
Franchisors are learning, and the industry itself is learning that there really aren't any secrets anymore.
Yeah.
And if you're not a good operator, it's real easy to find out.
Yeah. You know, that doesn't matter if you're a franchise or you're just Joe the plumber. I mean, that has certainly changed about the world we live in now. If you're not doing a good job, there are ways for people to publish that information, and obviously ways for people to find that out. So is there a kind of set path for how somebody says, you know, I don't think I'm this corporate, you know, coming out of corporate that you just described, I got my golden parachute and I think I want to go the franchise route because I want this sort of proven path. I mean, is there a sort of set way that you advise people? How do they start looking? I mean, if you just type in franchise, or you know, heavens, you know,
right.
how do you start kind of narrowing some of that down? Are there some places you should go?
If you just type in the word franchise, it's over. I mean, you'll start spinning in your chair because we have no idea what's going on.
Exactly.
There's too many searching options. I tell people to start looking for a franchise by not looking for a franchise. What I mean by that is I want people to take a couple days away from electronics, anything electronic, anything that can be plugged in except maybe a coffee maker. Grab a cup of coffee, hang out for a couple days somewhere quiet, and really take a look at yourself. Figure out what you're good at. What can you bring to the franchise table? What types of opportunities could use your skill sets? That's how to start looking. Because if you just punch in franchise on Bing or Google, I mean, there are, I think, I don't know, 30 million choices.
Right.
And it's just crazy. So you've got to start by following the path of self-introspection and figuring out who the heck you are. So after you do that, then you can start searching a little bit because now you're customizing your search. Well, let's see. I was looking at Five Guys, but you know what? I don't like HR. I know that there's going to be a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
I don't have the patience for that. So maybe something in the business to business genre where maybe I work by myself or I have one or two employees, you know, eventually. That's how you do it, John. You start thinking strategically. What am I good at, and what can I bring to the table that a franchisor would want, and how can we both win?
So you don't want to hook your wagon to a 17-year-old fry cook, is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
So are there. I hope all the 17-year-olds that are listening to my show are now have just unsubscribed. But it's a risk I got to take. So are there sectors right now that are pretty hot? You mentioned you've mentioned Five Guys a number of times, but are there if I'm listening, particularly if I'm listening and I'm thinking I do not want to have anything to do with the food industry, are there some other, you know, professional services sectors, business services, home services sectors that are pretty hot right now?
Service is always is always consistently hot. The hottest sector in service still is senior care. It's a little tricky because you have to have two things going for you. Number one, you have to be a really nice person and care about other people legitimately, because if you don't, it's going to show through.
Sure.
And number two, you better be good at selling, because it's a sales and marketing business disguised as an operation with a little storefront where there's part-time employees coming and going, because people that are looking for senior care aren't really knocking on your door.
Yeah.
You've got to create strategic relationships with people in the community that know where the seniors are that are going to need help.
Yeah, and that's probably an interesting one, not to digress too much from the franchise, but that's probably an interesting one because you're not actually selling the person that – you're not actually selling the senior, right?
Right.
And so, which I think any business where the actual customer is – different in some ways from the actual target of the business. That adds a whole nother layer of dynamic. So we started talking about how I start looking. I mean, obviously you are in the business of helping people looking at, would you say that, and I'm not asking you this to tee up, you know, your ad for your business, which I know you're not going to do, but I mean, would you say that as a rule, it's pretty good advice for somebody to find somebody like you, who can actually maybe, if nothing else, sort of whittle down, the bad advice, all of the stuff out there that they don't need to know, all the stuff they do need to know. Obviously, getting your book is going to help them a lot. But would you say that it's money well spent to hire someone like yourself?
Of course it is. Yeah. If someone is willing to say that they don't know it all.
Yeah.
You know, I've dealt with people that have $3 and $4 million net worths who are smart enough to know that they don't know everything. And maybe they should work with someone that knows a little more about one sector of business than they do, because it's all about risk. And if there's a way to lower their risk, they're going to do it. But most people will work with a broker or a consultant because it's a free consultation,
right?
Which is okay, but realize that the broker or consultant only works with 5% of the franchise opportunities out there. So you might not get a full picture. If you work with someone that's an independent, they're not going to necessarily steer you to a particular franchise or a particular sector, but they're going to help you and they're going to hold your hand.
Do you yourself have a kind of a formula for making a match? You know, you talked about some of the things like, you know, what do you want to do? What are your interests? You know, you talked about the elder care. You have to obviously really care about that market. I mean, what's your formula for helping somebody go, okay, everything you've told me, I think you should start looking in this direction?
Well, because I try not to point them in a specific direction, but I do try to have them kind of look at their sheet of paper and add things up for themselves and say, well, Joel, I'm really good at sales. Do you think business to business might be good? And I will say, yeah. I mean, looking at what you bring to the table, it's definitely a sector you should look at, but I'm not going to tell them which ones to look at.
So I'm talking to Joel Labava, and we're talking about Become a Franchise Owner, and he's written a great book, A Startup Guide to Lowering Risk, Making Money, and Owning What You Do in the Franchise Business. So let's kind of end up today just because of my normal length of show and talk a little bit about the money aspect of it. You mentioned, and I can't remember if it was on the air or before we started talking, that because of bank financing is tough. You know, if I come to you with a bank and I want to open a movie rental store, I'm probably in trouble. But but franchises in general, in some cases, come with $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 ticket. You might have to build a store. I mean, all those kinds of things. So, is that change the way that you look at the finance piece? I mean, should I be looking? Should that not be the main consideration? In other words, you know, if I'm going to have to self-fund this maybe or dip into my 401k to fund this, you know, is there advice you would give on the money aspect? Because some of these can be very expensive.
When it comes to the money, I really will not talk to anyone unless they have a minimum of a $300,000 net worth, which, as you and I know, ain't a heck of a lot.
Yeah, that's my double wide. That's my double wide out back, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you have to really be careful. So $300,000 minimum net worth, along with an ability to write a check for $40,000 or $50,000 of your own money. Mm-hmm. If you can't do both of those, you need to go find a job, a new job, or maybe an existing business that is really, really fire sale priced.
Right.
And these days, the banks, the 10% down probably isn't going to be looked upon too favorably.
Yeah.
You better come up with 30% of your own money.
As a rule, and again, I know this statistic is so hard to measure because it depends on who you're asking, it seems like. But as a rule, is a franchise seen, whether it's true or not, as a safer bet by the banks as, say, somebody that just says, hey, I've got this great idea for a business I want to start?
In general, if it's a proven model right. with enough units around the country, I feel in my heart that they would be easier to get financed mm-hmm. than a straight, I have an idea, I'd like to start a business kind of thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But these days, it's a little dicey. It's not a guarantee.
Well, I mean, obviously one of the beauties of starting a business, I mean, from this money question part is, I mean, you know, you can start some sort of a business for about $29.95 a month right now with the internet and everything, but obviously. Does it create the opportunity for you to do what you want to do? I mean, are there franchise owners that you talked about the idea of working really hard and investing a lot of money and a lot of time, but I mean, are there franchise owners that have been able to use this model to build something that that then really allows them to actually be free of working in the business?
Sure. There are models out there which allow you to eventually back off and manage the managers if that is your goal. And, you know, the goal should be you don't want to buy a job. You want to create something and build some equity so you can walk away. So maybe your family members, maybe your kids can get involved and take the business over so you can retire to the Carolinas or wherever you want to go. So equity building and managing the managers, I feel should be looked at pretty seriously if you know, long term.
Well, and I would guess that's one of the potential benefits. I mean, there are so many small business owners that do just as you mentioned. They create a job. Maybe it was a nice job. Maybe it was a nice paying job. But at the end, there's really, you know, they haven't documented anything. They don't really have a proven track record of this business being able to survive if they walk out the door, and so consequently they shut the door and they lock it up and that's the end of it. I would guess that the franchise model, at least particularly if it's associated with a proven brand that is doing well, offers probably a better opportunity for you to have something to sell, or is that actually limited in a lot of franchise agreements?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
The brand part is real important in the exit strategy, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think a franchise is worth more than an independent business in most cases if it's pretty well branded.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in many cases, because that franchise has made you follow the rules and document things, and you probably have to do a little better bookkeeping than a lot of small businesses do on their own because of the agreement and the model. So all of that can add up to some things that make it easier 10, 15 years later to say, here's what we did.
That's right, 100% right.
Yeah. Well, Joel, thanks so much for joining me. And those of you that want to start a business, obviously I'm high on that. No question, I talk about that all the time. But certainly, this franchise model is one that has a lot of appeal as well. And this book, Becoming Franchise Owner, is probably the best. What do we get for it these days? $19.95 or so that you can spend if you're thinking
right.
about plumping down a couple hundred grand. You know, let's start here.
That's right.
Joel, thanks again. I'm sure we'll see you out there on the road.
Thanks, John.